Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, November the 3rd, and welcome to our commentary. Before we get to our topic today, which is President Biden's speech yesterday, a horrific speech, in my opinion, that didn't do anything to bring us together, which was supposed to be his objective as president. Let me just remind you that I have a post over at the American Thinker today, Thursday, where I talk about Brazil and where I say that I am happy to see that President Bolsonaro is moving on, meaning he's accepting the results of the election. That doesn't mean that the people are happy. Many of his supporters are very unhappy, and they want him to fight the results. But look, he lost by 2 million votes, practically. It was very close. I mean, it was like 51-49, something like that. Not quite 51-49. It was less than 2 points, and a little bit. But anyway, he lost by all accounts. And I think his own people are saying, move on, and let's fight another war. Now, many people in Brazil are not accepting that, and Bolsonaro has sold all his supporters to march peacefully and to stop blocking highways and roads. People are angry. Look, I'm not going to deny that people are angry. I would have voted for Bolsonaro, as I told you, as I say in my American Thinker post. But the fact is that it's time to move on and fight the next battle. Now, the next battle is going to be fought in the Congress, in the Brazilian Congress, where Bolsonaro did very well. And what you have in Brazil is a President Lula with no mandate, and half of the country doesn't like him. Half of the country is not going to support him. And as soon as the economy starts to go down, that it will, and it will, you're going to have the same situation that you have in Chile and in Colombia. So, you know, I understand that people get passionate about elections, but I don't see the basis for challenging the election in Brazil. So I'm glad that Bolsonaro is moving on. Now, if you can show me evidence of fraud, fine, I'll listen to you. But apparently there isn't any. Otherwise, I'm sure Bolsonaro and his top strategist would have been talking about it. So I'm glad to see that he's moving on. I think that's good for him and for the country. Now let's talk about another president, and that's President Biden, who yesterday gave one of his threats to democracy speeches. I don't know what the heck is wrong with President Biden. I guess I should ask the question, who's writing these speeches? Because these speeches are completely irresponsible for him to talk about denying elections. I don't know who he's talking about denying elections. He must be talking about the Democrats who didn't want to vote for President Bush in 2005, or didn't want to confirm President Bush or President-elect Bush in 2001, or to confirm the reelection of President Bush in 2005. Maybe that's who he's talking about. You can see all those videos. They're all over the internet. Or maybe he's talking about all those Democrats who thought that President Trump was illegitimate. In fact, Democrats like President Biden, who himself, there's a video of him saying he agreed that President Trump was not legitimate, or Hillary Clinton or some of the other Democrats. You know, something like 40 Democrats, House Democrats, did not go to President Trump's inauguration because they say, or they said, he was not legitimate. So, you know, if you're going to be accusing people of questioning elections, maybe you should clean up your own house first and tell Democrats to take back all the things that they said about President Trump and President George W. Bush, because there was a lot of denying going on before about President George W. Bush and President Trump. Lots of denying that was going on about those election results, and lots of people running around the country saying that President Bush and President Trump were not legitimate. I remember that. Not only do I remember it, you can watch it on video. It's all there on video. Just go to YouTube, put Democrats denying elections, and you're going to get a whole bunch of them, including a couple of them who sit in the January 6th committee, a couple of them, including the chairman, Mr. Thompson. So, you know, this message from President Biden is really getting old. Now, the good news, of course, is that it doesn't move the needle because, honestly, nobody's listening to him. Nobody's paying attention to him. He has sunk to such a level of irrelevance that, you know, nobody really pays attention to him anymore. Nobody really takes him seriously. The other day he was in Florida and he was talking about inflation and he made a couple of statements. And then he said the war in Iraq, which of course he was talking about Ukraine. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. I said the war in Iraq because my son died in that war, died in Iraq. No, his son didn't die in Iraq. His son was in Iraq in 2009. And his son died 6 years later. Now, we honor his son's service in Iraq. We honor that. And we praise him for the service. But come on, you know, is he that, does he have that bad of a memory? Or worse than that, is he senile? Is he starting to imagine things? That's a little scary when you're the president of the United States. So, very bad speech by President Biden, you know, digging up all this garbage again about the threat to democracy. And the good news, as I said, is that it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because the country has tuned him out. The country has tuned him out. The only people who follow him or listen to him are the people like in the media who are being paid to listen to him. So if you work in a newspaper or a television station or a news service, obviously you have to listen to them because you're being paid to listen to them. That's your job. But I think most Americans have tuned him out, and that's because he's got nothing new to say. And when you have a country deeply worried about the economy, deeply worried about recession, you've got interest rates going back up again this week, inflation, you've got all kinds of bad economic signs. And you're talking about, you know, a threat to democracy. Look at the situation in the border, how chaotic that is. You're talking about a threat to democracy. So, you know, what a shame. What a shame that he has gone that path, but he has. And he's become his own worst enemy at this point because he doesn't really have a message or the ability to deliver a message. So it's he's a real burden for the Democrats, which is why he is going to be going these last few days of the campaign. He's not going to be traveling to any competitive places. He's going to California. He's going to New Mexico and somewhere else where he's going. He's going to places where no Democrat is under threat. Because if you're a Democrat in a competitive election, you don't want him around. You do not want him around. He is toxic for most voters. A quick note, they had an election in Israel and our friend Bibi is back. Now I like Bibi. I think he was a great prime minister and I'm sure he'll be a great prime minister again. But how many elections have they had in Israel? It seems like they've had three or four here recently in the last year. And I guess that's what makes a parliamentary system different than a regular system like ours, a presidential system. That they keep having these elections and they keep changing prime ministers every so often. But he's back. Bibi's back. And that's good. That's good news because he's the one Israeli prime minister that the Iranians understand you cannot fool around with. You don't fool around with Bibi. And the Iranians know that. So that's a good thing. That's the reason that I've always liked Bibi. He's a good man. Well, last night in the World Series in Game 4, they had a no-hitter, and it's only the second time in the history of the World Series that there's been a no-hitter. The first time was 1956. That ended up being a perfect game, and that was Don Larsen pitching for the Yankees against the Dodgers back in 1956. That was a perfect game that Don Larsen. The game last night was a no-hitter. They were like five or six walks in the game. And the other unique thing about the no-hitter last night was that the fact that there were four pitchers involved. The starting pitcher went six, and then you had three other pitchers completing the no-hitter. And I think in so many ways that is really what has changed so much in baseball since Don Larsen pitched that complete game back in 56, that perfect game back in 1956. Back then, Don Larsen pitched a perfect game, but the opposing pitcher, Sal Magley, also pitched a complete game. It was a 2-0 game, but both men went the distance in that particular game. Last night, of course, you had four pitchers for the no-hitters. So that makes, to me, that is one of the most striking examples of the difference in the game today, the use of the bullpen and the use of several pitchers during the game compared to what it was back many years ago. Even when I was growing up watching baseball in the 60s and 70s, you had a lot more complete games than you do now. But anyway, congratulations to the Houston Astros for the no-hitter. As long as we're talking about baseball, let me say happy number 76 to Kenny Holzman, who was a great left-handed pitcher with the A's when they won three consecutive World Series in the 70s. He also pitched with the Cubs, the Orioles, and the Yankees, but his best years were with the Oakland A's back in the early 70s. A quick note, let's see how many of you remember this from your history class. On this day in 1967, the Soviets put a dog in space. Her name was Laika. She was a Siberian husky. I guess they picked her up in the street, and they turned her into a I don't know what you call a dog, whatever you call them, but she flew into space. But sadly, she was killed. I guess they had an accident and something exploded or whatever, and she was killed. But her name was Laika, and she was a Siberian husky, and she was the first dog to go into space on this day in 1957. Cute little story about the dog, you know, going into space, but obviously very sad about the fact that there was an explosion and the poor thing was burned up in space. So that's the sad ending to Laika, but a cute little story until you get to the ending of the sad ending of the story. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.